Lewis. You might remember Jason, myself. I talked 2 weeks ago about that when we're on mission, we know we need to remain in Jesus. And we know that when you're a missionary, say in India and bombings have happened, you'll be quite dependent on God, prayerful, in His Word. And actually the challenge is the same for us. Even though we're on home soil and it feels like safe ground, actually it's still the same. We still need to depend on God to do God's work through us. So this week is the last week. We're going to finish with what is a sharp challenge, I think. And it's the right word to use, sharp. Because as soon as Jesus says, I want you to remain in me, and as soon as he says, I'm the true vine, my father's a gardener, he pulls out a knife in verse 2. He says, that this gardener, my father, cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Whether you've got fruit in your life or whether you don't have fruit in your life, you're going to get cut, is what Jesus says. There's going to be some cutting. People often, sadly, frame their spiritual life as being about themselves. I follow Jesus because I have challenges in my life, or I want to be happier, I want to get healing for my soul, I want to be more truly myself. And these are all good things, but they're not the fruit necessarily that God's just looking for. If you had all of those things and not a broader, bigger fruitfulness in your life, Jesus would probably make some comment. There is a lake in the world that just takes and takes and takes. Anyone know what that lake is called? It's called the Dead Sea. This lake, these tributaries and rivers flow into this lake, but there's nothing that comes out of it. It's a dead lake. And if you live your life like that, just take, 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 and there's nothing good that flows out from you to other people, that's not the kind of fruit that God wants from us in our life. That's where Israel went wrong. Israel lived for its own blessing and its own good. It forgot that it was to be a light to the nations. And sadly, Christians, even though we should know better, can live the same. If you find Christianity boring or strange, if you find it doesn't work for you, it may be because you've made it about yourself. Christianity is boring if it's only about you, because your world is very small. Christianity is extraordinarily stretching when you discover that your life is to be lived for the good of others. Extraordinarily challenging. It's never boring. And our central role, our central calling, is that our lives may be good news to God's world. Not just good news for me, but good news to God's world. And when we discover that, we discover we've got big meaning, bigger meaning, great purpose. We'll discover fruitfulness. And just like Jesus, we'll discover that our joy will be complete. So Jesus warns us on this. If you don't bear fruit, then you're in great risk of being cut out of the vine. Verse 6. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into fire and burned. Ow, that is a scary verse, is it not? If you don't bear fruit, you get the chop. And that's true for us as individuals. If you don't bear fruit, you run the risk of getting the chop. And it's true for us as a church. Anyone read Revelation chapter 3 recently? In our young adults small group, which we have on Sunday nights, we've been going through various things. And we did Revelation chapter 3 about the Laodicean church. And it's very clear there that if you don't change from being lukewarm, and their lukewarmness is they make their life about themselves. They say to themselves, I have wealth, I have no further need, I am content. So their world was about themselves, and the challenge of the Spirit on that church is, if you don't turn and start to have some heat in your life, I will vomit you out. I'll vomit you out. So this word that if you don't bear fruit, if your life is not stretched and bigger for the sake of other people, you'll get the cut. Turns out that's pretty much what Revelation 3 reminds us about as individuals and as churches. God is really interested in our world. He is deeply passionate about rescuing every person and every place. If you're ever confused, don't forget that Jesus set foot on our soil, walked in our shoes, understood from poverty to riches what life looks like, stepped in the gap by dying our death on a cross. So God has got his hands and his feet right into our muck. And it didn't stop there. It didn't stop there. Acts tells us that from there, that we, the people of God, then go on to do all that Jesus began to do. Actually, God is still at work in the world. And you've seen it in history. The church through history has been good for the world. Christians in neighborhoods have been good for their friends and their family. We live our life in a fruitful way. So this place here is not to be like a club where we exist for the benefit of our members. We're not like that. We exist for the benefit of the world, for the benefit of bearing God's fruit in people's lives. The world God loves is meant to be a better place because we're in it. Because we're in it. People ought to thank God for the church, not curses. But if you do bear fruit, Jesus has even more surprises. Every branch that does bear fruit. So here you are, you're fruitful. Your life is being lived in good ways. If every branch that does bear fruit, says Jesus, the Father prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, Anne does all the rose pruning at the moment. But you understand the principle, don't you? Roses, vines, they need to be cut back. Why? Why do they need to be cut back? Because they choke themselves on all the life and all the branches that grow. They become weak because they waste energy on too much. And here's Jesus saying, we're the same. We need pruning. We can waste our energy on things that look great. And it reminds us that following Jesus is not about doing everything. Not about just chasing down every possible potential that we might have in our lives and in church. Actually, Jesus will cut things out of our life. He's going to say to us, that's good, but that's a no. You're not going to do that. How does Jesus prune us? How do you find he prunes you? If you look a little in another translation, it says this. While every branch that does bear fruit, the Father trims clean so that it will be even more fruitful, you are already trimmed clean because of the word I've spoken to you. That God prunes our lives through his word. I mean, Jesus did that. You just have to read the Gospels and you'll notice that when disciples needed a rebuke, Jesus didn't soften up on them. He told them what they needed to hear. And when they needed encouragement or sending, he said those things, didn't he? And so the shaping of hanging around Jesus sharpened their lives, brought more focus, more fruitfulness to them. And that's what God does with us. You spend time in prayer and spend time in word. You reflect on your life. You hang out with in the community. And you'll find that there'll be a pruning that goes on. That there'll be a recognition in your life that you can't do everything. I'm someone who tries to do everything. Believe it or not, I am actually pacing myself. But I am somebody who just loves to have a go at everything at the same time. But I'm among friends, I think, because you're much the same. All of us chase a lot of things. you know, our church, Luke Hutchinson, who's been our interim associate, he was like here for 2 weeks and he says, wow, this is a busy place. His observation was there's a lot going on today, but there's a lot that happens throughout the week. There's a lot of activity here. I mean, we're going to eat 3 times in 7 days. The issue is not the activity, it's the focus, I think. And that's one of the hardest things I find to restrain as a pastor, is to restrain our focus, because there is so much good we could do. There's so much good. I don't know if I've mentioned this, but in the first 3 months that I came on as the pastor here, I had, I think, 15 different mission agencies knock on the door and say, will you consider supporting us? 15 great mission agencies. But do you want 15? I don't want 15 in my life. It's just too much. And so it's a difficult task to focus us, because there is so much good we could do and support. And then in the life of our church, there's probably as many a good idea as there are people in our church of what we could do. Our focus is to be on the fruit that God's seeking, isn't it? And our the bit that we can play a part in. And I over the next next year, want to prune us back to these two words. Come and follow. I just want to prune us back to coming. Come to Jesus. Invitation, proclamation, the big word that engineers wouldn't use is evangelism. But I want to focus on that actually we exist to invite people to follow Jesus. Go make disciples. It hasn't changed. It was the way it was back in 33 AD or so, and it's the way it is now. It still is. Come. Come. There is great news in Jesus. And we want to invite those who are close to us and far from God. We have that's our responsibility. You're the ones present in their life. Ought you not be the ones who say come? But May Mission Month reminds us actually it's not just what we're doing here. There's a global world. And Owen has told us about the incredible work, say, in Indonesia, what was it, Papua, and in India and other places. So we do want to partner with that work that God's doing. And I think that we definitely have relationships we must be responsible for, such as the Ameses, such as the Milners, such as Global Interaction. But God may expand our vision even further. Over the next 3 years, I'm hoping that our sense of come increases. That we find, you find, that you have fruitfulness in your life where people come to faith because you're involved in their life. I like the way you put it. That we show and we share. That you have that kind of fruitfulness in your life. Some of us have gone our whole Christian life, 40 plus years, and have yet to see somebody come to faith in Jesus. I hope you feel restless about that. That we all play our part. We might not be the talker, but we all can all play our part. And it's incredible when you do. And I hope as well in the next few years we see our attention on global mission increase. You know, it would be conceivable for me to think that in 3 years' time we have a short-term mission team go and do something like an exposure trip. It would be conceivable for me that in 3 years' time, somebody in this congregation says, God's moved my heart or our heart to go to somewhere in the world to share the gospel, to plant churches. It's conceivable to me that that could happen. It's conceivable to me that our missionaries would know that we are on their side and we support them and we know what life is like for them. Is that conceivable for you? Because that's where we're going. Because we are keen on every person that we have influence over and with to come to Jesus. And follow. Come and follow. What's the point of coming if you're not going to follow? there's no point. And I mean, in youth ministry, this is a tough thing because you see young people give their lives to Jesus and you struggle to help them follow. And there's so much against them. The parable of the seeds and soils tells us that the cares of this world and the worries of life are all too eager to snatch away the good news of Jesus from people's lives. So we want to help people follow. We want to help disciple generations of people to follow Jesus faithfully. And that's tough work. Which leads me to close with this question. What will God cut back in your life so that you will bear fruit that lasts? Because there's going to have to be some pruning for all the followers. What is God going to cut back in your life so that you'll bear fruit that will last? Let's talk to some young people here. And I'm talking to young people, not parents, all right? Your parents, and I'm one of them, but your parents take you everywhere. We make sure that you lack no opportunity, that you lack no support. We are in our cars all the time for your sake. Is this not true, parents? Right, so I want you to consider this. In all of your activity, how are you growing in faith, remaining in Jesus, loving like Him? For all the things you do, how is the world a better place because you're following Jesus? I'm not telling you to cut anything out of your life, but I want you to ask that question, because we're at a time that the parents are doing, maybe I do want to mention something too much, but we're at a time where we give everything and you're the ones who need to decide for yourselves whether you're going to take everything or you're going to say no to some things. Because some things need to be said no to if you're going to follow Jesus and live your life in a way that's good for the world. So here's a dangerous prayer for you. Maybe you could ask God, what does He want you to prune from your life? And see where that leads you. Now, adults, you don't want me to say anything to you, do you? So I'll just move on. If it's bad when you're young, and it is, it's a disease as you get older. So where are your priorities? In all of your activity, where are your priorities? Will God find the fruit He is seeking in your life? I'm not going to answer that question, but here's a little dangerous prayer for you. Ask God what He wants to prune from your life. Pruning is really painful. There's loss, there's grief. I love what the theologian Tom Wright says about it, though. He says, the gardener is never closer to the vine, never more intimately concerned with it than when wielding the knife. God is right on top of your life when He's cutting this stuff out. When He's saying that needs to be a no. Because if you're going to be fruitful, I'm going to take it out. Let's pray. So our God, here we are as a church and we need cutting. There needs to be releasing, letting go. And You want to make us more fruitful, and that's what we're expecting of us in Your hand. I pray especially for those of us who have been given the responsibility of leading here, that You would give us wisdom and insight as to what this might mean. But I am deeply, deeply prayerful that we would come and say to people, come to Jesus, and we would help them follow. And we'd see an increase especially in that. And then, Lord, coming back to us, how will You prune us? How will You prune us? Because You seek from us fruit. Fruit that will last. That's extraordinary. You want the work of our hands to last into eternity. Unbelievable. That's Your passion for us. So please prune us. Help us hear your voice. And help us have the courage to let you do so. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.